Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of September 22, 2023. This week we pray for our nation and for the people of the world who live under oppression, for those who love the Lord and seek Him everywhere, and those sharing the gospel. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our next reading is from Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again, about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, Why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, Because no one has hired us. He said to them, You go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. The reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 7. This is the law of the guilt offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the guilt offering, and its blood shall be thrown against the sides of the altar. And all its fat shall be offered, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering to the Lord. It is a guilt offering. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The guilt offering is just like the sin offering. There is one law for them. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it, and the priest who offers any man's burnt offering shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering that he has offered, and every grain offering baked in the oven, and all that is prepared on a pan or a griddle shall belong to the priest who offers it. And every grain offering, mixed with oil or dry, shall be shared equally among all the sons of Aaron. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of the fine flour well mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with loaves of leavened bread. And from it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who throws the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow offering or a free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what remains of it shall be eaten. But what remains of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned up with fire. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten on the third day, he who offers it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be credited to him. It is tainted, and he who eats of it shall bear his iniquity. Flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned up with fire. All who are clean may eat flesh, but the person who eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offerings while an uncleanness is on him, that person shall be cut off from his people. And if anyone touches an unclean thing, whether human uncleanness or an unclean beast or any unclean detestable creature, and then eats some flesh from the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offerings, that person shall be cut off from his people. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, you shall eat no fat of ox or sheep or goat, the fat of an animal that dies of itself and the fat of one that is torn by beasts may be put to any other use, but on no account shall you eat it. For every person who eats of the fat of an animal of which a food offering may be made to the Lord shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall eat no blood whatever, whether of fowl or of animal, in any of your dwelling places. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the Lord's food offerings. He shall bring the fat with the breast, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be for Aaron and his sons. And the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifice of your peace offerings. Whoever among the sons of Aaron offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right thigh for a portion. For the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, I have taken from the people of Israel out of the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as a perpetual due from the people of Israel. This is the portion of Aaron and of his sons from the Lord's food offerings. From the day they were presented to serve as priests of the Lord commanded this to be given them by the people of Israel from the day that he anointed them. It is a perpetual due throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the grain offering, of the sin offering, of the guilt offering, of the ordination offering, and of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai, on the day that he commanded the people of Israel to bring their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. God is abundantly gracious and provides for us. In this day and age, people have gotten used to water from a tap with methods to remove waste and wastewater. We've gotten used to places to buy our food so that we don't have to work the ground in the way God described in the Garden of Eden. We've gotten used to being able to store our food in refrigerators and having food that is prepared for longer storage. We've gotten used to being able to keep certain food in a freezer as necessary. My mother and father from a young age lived in a very different way. Mom didn't have electricity until she was a little older, so they would read by oil lamps in the evening. They installed pumps on their land to pump water to the surface, and they actually raised animals and had fruit trees and crops on their land. They did not have indoor plumbing, so they used outhouses, and the luxury of a daily shower was not available. We are at a point in history where I think a great deal of people would be at a loss if modern conveniences were taken away. I think a lot of folks would be in a great deal of trouble, in fact. It is well for us all to be prepared, have some supplies of water and some food stored, and it would be well for every person, for you, wherever you might live, to grow some of your own food at home, even if you aren't completely self-sufficient. Start small and go from there. Do a little bit at a time. What you will find as you begin growing things is that it is God who provides. He provides the water, soil, sun, and everything necessary to make things grow. He provides the seeds from which we grow our goods. It is amazing when you purchase seeds for particular crops and foods. You can actually harvest seeds in the times to come and perpetuate those things you are growing. It is amazing that sometimes volunteer plants will come back the next year from things you grew last year. Not only does God provide for us in this world, but he also provides us with the most necessary forgiveness that grants us life. In Leviticus chapter 7, we learn about the institution of the guilt offering. The blood of the guilt offering was to be thrown against the altar. The blood is holy and cannot be eaten or drank or anything like that. The blood gives life to the animal, and it is a holy thing. The fat of the sacrifice was to be removed and offered to God. Kleinig, John Kleinig, who wrote the commentary on Leviticus, points out that the burning up of the sacrifice left only the meat, which was most holy. This was God's way of providing for the priests, and this most holy meat purified them. John Kleinig calls this the reparation offering. The point of it is that the person has sinned and something is being given to God to make reparation for that sin. The priest who makes atonement with the offering shall have the meat and the skin of the offering. Certainly the skin could have been useful as a covering for pouches, etc. The animal that was to be offered was to be a ram. Think of how God gives the animal and the things that come from it are used for offerings, for food, and the skin could be used for practical purposes. Kleinig pointed out that the grain offering is given for the other priests who serve, especially if they do not have the opportunity to share in the meat of the sacrifice. This is shared among the sons of Aaron, the brother of Moses, who are the priesthood. We also learn here that leavened bread is acceptable for this offering, which is unusual. Kleinig pointed out that peace offerings were given for various reasons. One might make a peace offering in thanksgiving. He pointed out that if prayers were answered, a person might come with an offering of thanksgiving. Votive offerings were made to fulfill a vow made in a prayer to the Lord of a person in trouble, and free will offerings were brought voluntarily in thanksgiving for God's blessings. Kleinig writes, like an accountant, the Lord credited the offering to the offerer and accepted him together with his offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of peace was to be eaten on the same day the sacrifice was offered and on the next day. The third day, anything not eaten was to be burned up. The person who ate any of this tainted meat would be cut off from the assembly. Flesh that touched any unclean thing was not to be eaten, but burned. The practical implication here is that at a certain point, the meat was spoiled and unsafe to eat. Only the clean could eat the flesh of the sacrifice. Anyone who touched an unclean person or an unclean animal could not share in the sacrifice at that point. And anyone who ate of the sacrifice while unclean was to be cut off from his people. In verse 22, the Lord told Moses that the fat of an ox, sheep, or goat was not to be eaten. And though the fat of an animal that died by itself or was torn by other beasts could not be offered or eaten, it could be put to use. Kleinig gives the example of using its fat for a lamp or some other use. It just couldn't be eaten. The fat of animals were for food offerings to the Lord, and the blood was holy. A person who ate the blood was to be cut off from the people. A person was to bring the Lord's food offering himself. The fat with the breast was brought as a wave offering. The fat was burned, and the breast was for Aaron and his sons. The right thigh was given as a contribution from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. He who offered the blood of the peace offering and the fat had the right to the thigh. These offerings were given to Aaron and his sons because they interceded for the people before God, and this was their only payment. They did not get to engage in other occupations like other people. This was their duty, and the people were to provide for them in doing this. Pastors will find that they depend on the generosity of people, whether for wages or even for gifts from the people's bounty. In years past, people might bring their pastors chickens or other meat or produce for their needs. The use of a money system has masked the fact that it is God who truly provides. The offerings are due for God's people through the generations. It was commanded on Sinai, and the offerings were made in the wilderness of Sinai. There are extensive laws regarding the sacrifices, and for more fuller explanations of these things, I recommend that a person go to John Kleinig's commentary on Leviticus put out by Concordia Publishing House. If I have failed to properly describe everything taking place here, I advise anyone to go back to the scriptures themselves and see if any questions might be clarified. What we see is that a person had to be ritually clean to participate in the meal of the sacrifice. What Christ did was to fulfill all these things. Surely some people were cut off for their sins and uncleanness. What Kleinig points out is that when Jesus came, he came as the perfect offering that covered all the different kinds of sacrifices, making us fully right with God. We receive Christ's own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Professor Kleinig brings in a powerful declaration that when the prophet Jeremiah announced restoration of God's people, they would bring thank offerings, and the rabbis of old saw this as a prophecy of what it would be like after the coming of the Messiah. Kleinig adds that Philip Melanchthon, who is contemporaneous with Martin Luther, separated Eucharistic and propitiatory sacrifices. What is the difference? Christ made propitiation for us. He was the offering that forgave all our sins. So this was like the guilt offering or the sin offering, but it covers all sins, even sins which we ourselves may have committed not by accident, but intentionally. And when we come in repentance to Christ, he does forgive us. Eucharistic, on the other hand, is a word which describes thanksgiving. We call Holy Communion the Eucharist sometimes. Think of Christ on the night of the Last Supper giving thanks and then giving the bread and the wine to his disciples. Kleinig points out that the whole divine service is an offering of thanksgiving to God, and he calls the Lord's Supper an act of thanksgiving and praise. Then he connects being properly prepared with what takes place beforehand. Remember how God's people had to be ritually clean to share in the sacrifice? We need to be prepared for the sacrament of the altar. This preparation takes place when we are washed of our sins and cleansed on a daily basis through our baptisms. We also confess all our sins and are absolved. When we cut ourselves off from Christ, we are cutting ourselves away from being God's people. It is only on account of Christ that we can be a part of God's people, Kleinig adds. For anyone who might struggle to understand what we receive in Holy Baptism versus what we are receiving in Holy Communion, these ideas could be helpful for clearing that distinction up. It is truly important that we have prepared ourselves for Holy Communion. It is not a light thing. That is why we are baptized as a prerequisite and as a part of the service, engage in confession and receive absolution. This helps prepare us for the Eucharist, for receiving Christ's body and blood, and for his gracious mercy, we give thanks. Ultimately, Christ was the perfect sacrifice for all our sins and every kind of sin. Only in him do we have grace and mercy, and for that we are thankful. God is abundantly generous in his grace, mercy, and forgiveness. So the question you might ask is, am I worthy to go and receive Holy Communion? I had a person in my confirmation class a number of years ago in the adult confirmation class who was worried about taking the sacrament rightly. He was almost a little afraid to go to the sacrament. And what I reminded him is of the words of Luther that we find in the Small Catechism. He who is worthy and well prepared has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so you must always remember that it is Christ who does this work and forgives all your sins. He is the one who makes you right with God, his Father, and prepares you to receive this blessed gift. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, each day, help me to come in repentance for sin and in you to receive forgiveness. Help me to come before you with a right heart and mind. Cleanse me in body, mind, and spirit, and make me right with the Heavenly Father who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for giving us our nation. We pray for our nation and for the people of the world. We pray for people who live under oppression, for those who love you and seek you everywhere. And we pray for those who are sharing the gospel, even in danger of their lives. Watch over them and protect them. Lord, we pray that you'd be with those who are dealing with sickness, vaccine injuries, for those facing surgeries and rehabilitation, for those dealing with cancer, and for those who seek healing from ailments, both physical and mental. Watch over them, care for them, bring them healing according to your holy will. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse for the day comes from Isaiah chapter 55. And here I'm looking at verses 8 and 9 where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in a similar verse, Psalm 103, verses 11 to 12, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." So God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And in the same way, God's forgiveness is abundantly gracious. He removes our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our mourning hymns ascended. Thy praise shall sanctify. Church unsleeping, while earth rolls onward into light, through all the world her watch is keeping, and never rests by day or night. As silent, nor dies the strain of praise away. The sun that bids us rest is waking, thy saints beneath the western skies, and stands and grows forever till